It's been over a year since HTTP/3 has become an official standard, and the adoption has skyrocketed since then. Let's discuss.
Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. This is the show where we discuss the art and the craft of building software and cover recent news on backend technologies. If you enjoy the show, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and rate it on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. With that said, let's get on the show. Operating systems, their kernel specifically, orchestrate many processes. It allows access to memory, disk, network, and execute processes by scheduling them to the CPU. It does sound simple, but when you put it this way, the task is actually very vast. Writing efficient programs depends on how much understanding the engineer has in the OS kernel. For example, when we access a 32-bit integer in memory or write 6-byte to disk, the kernel and hardware work together through several steps and layers to handle those tasks, simple as they may seem. Each step and layer may add unpredictable costs. As a result, we as engineers are bound to write inefficient code as we grind across the grain of the kernel. I built this course to demystify what I believe are the fundamentals of operating systems to software engineers. By knowing how the kernel works, you will start writing software differently and naturally, as you will start questioning what happens in each line of code you author. If you're interested, head to oscourse.win, that is oscourse.win, to grab the course and a coupon. I hope you really enjoyed it. It took me around 2 years to research and build out this course. I hope you really enjoy it. Now back to the podcast.
So this comes from apnic.net titled, Why HTTP/3 is Eating the World. It's very interesting. And I'm going to link the article below for you guys because I want to give full credit to the author. Of course, I can't just read everything. But essentially, I wanted to focus on the charts here because it's a really good article. The article explains essentially how HTTP/3 has gained popularity over the 3 years since it was started to become popular. And this particular chart that we're looking at here comes from Mozilla. And specifically was captured since January 2021. And my guess, this is where Mozilla or Firefox started experimenting or enabled experimental support for HTTP/3. That's why it starts with zero, almost like 0.1. And then when it became a little bit popular, you can see that it started to increase and increase the usage for HTTP/3. So this tells me that both the client side and servers and backend started to enable, light up HTTP/3. And then you can see that HTTP/1 is gradually decreasing, but not as steep, if you notice that, right? Still, because people still love this, and I'm gonna talk about why. This article goes through the good thing about HTTP/3, but it never mentions, of course, the disadvantage. It's all like everything in new technologies, nobody talks about the bad things, right? The things that we never know, or the things like hush, right? HTTP/3 has some potential disadvantages, and we don't talk about these because it's the hype, right? We never talk about bad things when it's hype, right? So we're gonna talk about this. When the same thing when HTTP/2, mid 2015 or even before that, it was the perfect thing, right? Then a few years later, the disadvantage of HTTP/2 started showing up. I expect HTTP/3 in 3 years from now, 2 years from now, you would start seeing, as people started adopting it, you will start seeing some problems with it. Nothing is perfect, right? So HTTP/2 had like severe drops right here. and another drop right here, but it's almost like a mirror from HTTP3. Almost everyone who had HTTP2 switched to HTTP3, right? Of course, they are disabled HTTP2, right? It's still supported, but they enabled the HTTP3 endpoint, and you have to support both, because not all clients know Quick, right? They don't know how to talk in the Quick and HTTP3 language. So you have to have this duality here. But essentially what I want to talk about here is it would be really cool to see the corresponding CPU and memory usage for these servers, right? Because if you had HTTP1 and you enable HTTP2, you would see a slight increase in the CPU usage, right? Compared to HTTP1. And then HTTP3 to HTTP2, you wouldn't see much because it's almost the same computationally. And why do I say that? And the reason is because of this beautiful chart. You know, this is a fantastic chart. So this is a fantastic diagram. So in the top, we're seeing the TCP on top of TLS on top of TCP. And it doesn't really mention if this is HTTP1 or HTTP2. If it's HTTP1, then this as is, the encrypted content, you simply copy it into your user process space, decrypt it, and then immediately start working with the data. So the cost you're taking is the cost of encryption, of decryption. Like I'm talking about the backend here, right? So that's in HTTP 1.1. That's it. You immediately, once you decrypt it, you'll see the headers, plain and simple, right? You'll see the headers. Yeah, of course, you might need to assemble one or more packets so you can see the whole request, right? In this case, because we're in the backend. That's it. So you decrypt and you immediately work with the data. That's HTTP 1.1. So it's straightforward and simple. So the cost is just copying, right, the data from the kernel into the user space, then apply the SSL crypto to decrypt it, right, using the symmetric key that was exchanged. In HTTP2, there are additional work that needs to happen. Copying the data and decrypting is just the first step. You are not ready to work with the data yet. And this additional data, the additional cycles that you need to spend is parsing the streams, because now we have the concept of streams, right? And when you work with streams, you have to know, oh, what is this now? Oh, is this, what this data is? Is this stream 1, stream 7? Is this a header frame? Is this a data frame? Is this a setting frame? So you have more parsing. The protocol requires more parsing. And parsing equals CPU. And CPU, basically, your CPU will go high, right, up. And of course, if you're talking about a few packets, it wouldn't matter. But the higher throughput you have, at least per connection, the more you'll see that your CPU cycles, you know, usage goes up, right? And as a result, because of this, just proportionally, your memory also will go up, because you still need to move data now, right? So that's the HTTP1 and HTTP2. In the Quick, it's almost the same, right? Because now in Quick, it's actually worse in Quick. Let me explain. In TCP, the kernel takes care of all this stuff. Yeah, so it's optimized to learn and to understand about the sequence, the ordering, you know, the packets and all of that stuff. It's all there, right? And the kernel reorder the packets and has its own receive queue and the send queue and won't even send you the data that is not in order. And that's basically the problem with HTTP2, right? We receive data from earlier, newer streams, but we can't deliver into the app because they are not in order. And that's the problem, the head of line blocking. But in Quick is the transport protocol. And guess what? Quick is not implemented in the kernel. It's a user application. It's a completely user space thing. The kernel part, guess what? It's a UDP. So the kernel takes these UDP packets and says, all right, here's a UDP datagram, and it's not ordered. So it will just put it in the receive queue, and the app, which is whoever runs this backend server that supports Quick, there is a Quick library that is shared essentially with all other processes. So it's like there is like a specific shared memory with this library, and that code runs and start parsing the entire UDP packet. So now, instead of the kernel doing it efficiently, now the app, your process, is doing all the, you know, the quick transport things. So anything related to connection, the concept of a connections, concept of a sequencing, all of this is happening in your user space. So you're doing more work. So that just translates to more CPU usage, of course, right? I know the engineers at Google and Cloudflare and people who is working on this spec are improving and lowering and lowering and lowering the cost of CPU. I think I read a paper about this several months ago. Another feature of the, because everything is encrypted, one of the most important problem with TCP is you cannot improve this protocol at all. Right, TCP, because in the middle boxes, in the middle, they look at this stuff, the sequence number, all of this is encrypted in Quick, sequence number, ACK, and they accept these to be there. And so if they are not there, or there's a new field that you added, it will just block it. And that's the problem why it's called protocol ossification. It was never improved because of this reason. But in Quick, because if everything is encrypted, you don't have this problem, right? These middle boxes, they look at this as just a dumb UDP packet. Yeah? Just a UDP packet. It's like, all right, whatever you have there, as long as these don't change, you're fine. But this, that's the structure of Quick. You can completely upgrade the protocol. You can improve it. You can remove, add field. And the middle boxes will not be a problem. As long as the server and the client agree on the version, you should be good to go. But of course, while there is a nice features that we talked about, right? And of course, that other features like, zero RTT, and the TLS is actually mushed with the TCP connection, right? With the connection establishment, sorry. And that, because Quick literally is a transport protocol, right? And we did, so we're doing all of this at once. But that is one of the fantastic thing here. The cost. It would be really interesting to see all the costs associated with this, right? So I'm just interested. I want to see, like, give it a few years and see how people, you know, what is the side effects of implementing HTTP3, yeah? Maybe people says, no, what are you talking about? We have beefy server. We never noticed it. Says, all right, maybe that's it, right? But it's just interesting to know what happens behind the scenes, because we take this for granted, right? We see it's like, all right, yeah, but understanding what the kernel does versus what the user space does, it would be interesting, right? In the future, what I would expect will happen is the kernel will natively implement Quick and will do it much, 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 much efficiently, right? In the future, I think, right? But I don't know how long that's gonna take, to be honest, right? There is no talk about that at all in the community. All right, guys, catch you in the next one.